Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's January the 5th, and we're in Parsha Shlach on page 810, up to Perek Tesvav, chapter 15. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lema, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Yomarta Alehem, you should speak to Bnei Yisrael and say to them, Ki Savo'u El Eretz Moshvo Seichem, when you will come to the land of your dwelling place, Ashanino Sein Lachem, that I am giving to you. Now we're about to have a discussion that has to do with Karbonos, which we would have expected to find in Sefer Vayikra. But the heading of this paragraph is clearly very important. The Jews just got told that they were going to now wander for the next 38 years, and they would not be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they would die out, and their children would go in. And there was a group who tried to go in anyway, the Mapilim, and they were killed. And Hashem immediately gives a command to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people that is dependent on their entering Eretz Yisrael. And the commandment is saying to them, you will enter Eretz Yisrael. You won't, your children will, but the Jews are going to enter Eretz Yisrael. Immediately Hashem wants it to be clear that this turning away from Eretz Yisrael and heading back into the wilderness is not a prelude to changing the entire plan and the Jews not going into Eretz Yisrael at all. Rather, it is a delay, but they are going to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the mitzvah they are given is, Pasuk Gimel verse 3, Vasisem Ishe LaHashem Ola Ozevach. It literally means you will do, but it means when you will do a karban, a burnt offering to Hashem, either an Ola, burnt offering, or a Zevach, or that would be a Shlamim, a peace offering. Lafalei Neder Ovindava, whether it's because of an oath, taking a vow, the person is going to bring a voluntary karban, obamoadechem, or it's going to be on the yontif, like a karban musaf. Lasos reach nichoach lahashem mina bakar o min hatzon, to make a reach nichoach, a pleasant smell for Hashem, so to speak, from the cattle or from the sheep or goats. So when you're going to bring a carbon, whether it be your own voluntary carbon, whether it be from the tzibor, from the congregation on a holiday, so the following should happen. V'kriv hamakriv karbono lahashem, that the one who brings the carbon should bring along with his carbon to Hashem, mincha soles isaron, a meal offering of fine flour, the measurement of an isaron, that's a tenth of an epha, balul birviis hahin shaman, mixed up with a revius of a hin of oil. That's a measurement of oil. So the brings a one isaron of flour mixed with a revius of oil. In addition to that, v'yayin lanesech revius ahin, wine for libations, also a quarter of a hin. Ta'aseh al ho'ola ola zavach, should be brought for a burnt offering or for a peace offering. La keves ha'echad, for one sheep. So when you bring a sheep as a karban, then you should bring along with it the following three things. An isaron of flour, a quarter of a hin of oil mixed with that flour, and a quarter of a hin of wine. This is called, in the language of the Gemara, Nisachim. The word Nisachim comes from the word Nesech, which is the second word in the Pasuk, in Pasuk Hay, verse 5, Yayin la Nesech. Nesech literally means libation. But these three things are not all libations. Only the wine is a libation. A libation means something you pour. So only the wine is actually poured. The flour and the oil are burned on the Mizbeach. They're not consumed and they're not poured. They're burned. But they're still called Nisachim because this is the category of wine, oil, and flour that is brought along with a carbon. These are considered to be accompanying gifts that go along with a carbon. Flour, oil, and wine. And they are brought along with most carbonos. They are not consumed. Even if the carbon is consumed, the nesachim are not consumed. As I mentioned, the flour and oil are burned. The wine is poured on the mizbeach. And we are given the measurements if the carbon is a sheep. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about an ola, a burnt offering, or a shlamim, a peace offering. Either way, if it is a sheep that is being brought, whether it is a male sheep, which would be for an ola, an ola can only be male, or whether it's female, if it's a shlamim, it could be male or female. Either way, the libation and the meal offering and the oil, the nesachim for a sheep are the same. A tenth of an ephah of flour, a quarter of a hin of oil, a quarter of a hin of wine. But the Torah goes on to give us different measurements for a goat. I'm sorry, not for a goat, for a ram, and for a bull. Now, what we just said for a sheep would also be true for a goat. Sheep and the goat have the same nisachim. However, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, O la'ayo, but for a ram, it's an adult sheep, ta'aseh mincha, you should make a meal offering, soles shnei asronim. Now, it's going to be double the size, it's going to be 2/10 of an ephah of flour, bilulav Hashem en shlishi sayin, and that's going to be mixed up with oil that is a third of a hin. A hin is 12 lug, and a quarter of a hin, therefore, is 3 lug. That's the amount that was brought with the sheep. And with the ram, it's going to be a third of a hin, which is 4 lug. The yayin la'nesech, shlishi sahin. The wine for libations, same as the oil. A third of a hin, which is, again, 4 lug. Takriv reach nichalach la'ashem, should be brought as, so to speak, a sweet smell for Hashem. And going on, what if it is a bull? V'chisa seven bakar ola uzavach. If you'll make a bull into a burnt offering or a peace offering, lefalei neder o shlamim laHashem, for some sort of a vow or a shlamim for Hashem. V'hikrivah ben habakar mincha, you should bring for the ben habakar for the bull. You should bring a meal offering. Soles shlosha esronim. Now it's going to be 3/10 of an ephah of flour. Balul bashemen chatzi hahin. And now it's mixed with oil that is half of a hin. That's going to be 6 lug. And the wine will follow the same as the oil. V'yayin takriv lanesach chatzi hahin. Wine will be brought for a libation. Half a hin, which is 6 lug. Ishei re'ach nicho'ach la'ashem. A burnt offering. That means the oil and the flour, which are burned, as a sweet smell, so to speak, for Hashem. So those are the formulas for the nisachim that are brought with the karbanos. And I'll just give you a sense of how much we're talking about. So a hin, let's talk about the liquid measurement first. A hin is 12 lug. When you talk about how much wine to have or grape juice to have for Kiddush, the minimum size is a revius. A revius means a quarter. A quarter of what? So it's a quarter of a lug. Revias halug. A quarter of a lug. That's the minimum size for Kiddush. So 12 lug is a hin. So a hin is 48 times the size of the minimum size for Kiddush. So here when we're talking about a quarter of a hin, or a third of a hin, or a half of a hin, that means a quarter of a hin is 3 lug, a third of a hin is 4 lug, and a half of a hin is 6 lug. So each lug is 4 times the minimum size for Kiddush. So just to give you a sense, minimum size for Kiddush is, of course, a machlokas, is a difference of opinion exactly how much that is, how many ounces that would be, but you get a sense. Think of a standard size Kiddush cup, and then multiply that times 4, then you get 1 lug, and then for the sheep, you have to bring 3 times a lug of oil and of wine. For a ram, 4 times a lug. And for a bull, 6 times a lug. So that's the size, that's the liquid measurement. What about the flour? So the flour is a tenth of an ephah. That's an isaron, a tenth of an ephah. So we know that the Torah tells us back in Parshas Bishalach that, you can actually look at this pasuk, because this is a good pasuk to remember, back in Parshas Bishalach, after we are introduced to the mun, the Torah tells us, it's back on page 388, at the bottom of the page, in the very bottom of the page, so Pasuk Lamed Vav, verse 36, the last Pasuk in chapter 16, V'ha'omer Asiris Ha'efahu. And Omer, which was the size of the cart of the mun each person got, was an Omer. And an Omer is a tenth of an ephah. So the Isaron we're talking about over here is the same size as an Omer. How big is an Omer? An Omer is the volume of 43.2 eggs. That's the volume of an Omer. So that is an Isaron. One Isaron for a sheep, 2 for a ram, and 3 for a bull. The size of the Omer is the minimum size. We'll talk a little bit more about this soon. But that's the size for the volume of an asiri saif, of a tenth of an epha, of an isaron, so that you get a sense for how much flour we're talking about over here to be brought as nisachim. Now the nisachim, as we mentioned, are not eaten. The flour and oil are burned, and the wine is poured on the mizbeach.
Over the animal?
I'm sorry?
Over the animal?
What, poured? No. On the side of the mizbeach, on the southwest corner of the mizbeach, there were two what they call in the Gemara nostrils. That's what they're called in the language of the Gemara. But there are two holes. And they're like a bowl shape of the hole. And in one would go the wine that is poured on the Mizbeach. The other would go the water that was poured on the Mizbeach. Nisuch Hamayim, the pouring of the water, was only done on Sukkot. But wine was done all year round.
And did it connect to the bottom?
So there's a machlokas where it went. Some say that it went just into the interior, the cavity of the Mizbeach, and that it had to be cleaned out the Gemara says every, I believe, 70 years. They cleaned it out. There was a congealed mass of wine. Then it'd be cleaned out. Others say that the shisin, the holes upon which the Mizbeach was built, those holes went all the way down to the Tahom, to the depths. And that's where it went. So that's a difference of opinion.
So it wasn't like a flavoring for the meat?
No. It was not consumed. It was not consumed. So these are the nisachim. Now, nisachim were commanded before this point, but not for individual carbon. if you offered your own carbon before this point, you would not bring nisachim with the carbon. In other words, if you voluntarily brought an ola or a shlamim, you just bring the animal. That's it. You wouldn't bring flour, oil, or wine with it. We were told earlier with the carbon tamid, with the daily sacrifice, that it requires nisachim, that there's flour, oil, and wine that is brought along with it. But for individual carbonos, that was not necessary until we got to Eretz Yisrael. And that commandment is being given over here, that when you get to Eretz Yisrael, the same way that when you bring the daily offering, the tamid, you have to bring along with the animal flour and oil and wine. So even though that's not true now for an individual carbon, but when you get to Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to have to bring along with your animal flour, oil, and wine. Now this made bringing a carbon more complicated, as you would imagine, because as with everything else, the Beis HaMikdash does not accept just any flour or any oil or any wine. It had to be the proper type of flour, oil, and wine. Plus, of course, all the rules of Tuma and Tahara had to be maintained, and wanted to be careful with that. So he made it more complicated. An animal, a live animal, you had to be careful that the animal was a nice animal and that it had no blemish. But a live animal cannot become tamei. So bringing a live animal to the Beis HaMikdash, if people were used to handling livestock as they were, so it may be expensive, but it was doable, especially since they sold animals in and around Yerushalayim. So you went, you bought an animal, you brought it to the Beis HaMikdash. But once you have to add flour and oil and wine to the mix, then already there's much more room for mistakes and problems, which is why the Beis HaMikdash maintained a large quantity of appropriate flour, oil, and wine on hand in the storehouses of the Beis HaMikdash that were available for purchase for bringing a carbon. And that was the preferred method, that you came to the Beis HaMikdash only with your animal, not with flour, oil, and wine, only with your animal. And when you got to the Beis HaMikdash, then you purchased the necessary nisachim that would be used for your carbon. And that would avoid the problem of everybody having to deal with flour, oil, and wine, which could lead to all kinds of trouble. That was the standard practice in the Beis HaMikdash once we got to Eretz Yisrael.
Did they have weights and measures there to weigh it all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything had to be weighed out. They also had vendors who would make deals with the Beis HaMikdash, like to provide oil for the year, or to provide flour for the year, or wine for the year, for nisachim. People people who sold those things in bulk would make deals with the Beis HaMikdash, which sounds like a really sweet deal because you've got a huge amount of quantity that has to be bought. So you've got a good customer. The only thing is that it was not easy to be the one to provide for the Beis HaMikdash because, first of all, the wine, oil, and flour had to be the right type, had to be perfect, had to be kept pure. So that's a complication. But in addition to that, any loss had to be absorbed by the vendor, not by the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, for example, if a person cut a deal with the Beis HaMikdash to provide flour and whatever the going rate was, if the rate would go up, so the price of flour would rise, the provider had to continue to offer the cheaper rate to the Beis HaMikdash. He could not raise his rates middle of the year, even though the price went up. If the price would drop, he had to drop his price. The Beis HaMikdash won either way. So if you were the provider, you accepted upon yourself this really unfair system. You weren't getting away with making a lot of money off of the Beis HaMikdash.
So So is this a cloud that's when you're doing something for a community?
I imagine we would learn from here that you see conceptually the idea that one should err in favor of the community fund. That's what you see from here. I don't know that a person has to do it that way, but that was the system in the Beis HaMikdash. That was the rule in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.
So Rabbi Plansky, I've never seen, which means nothing because I'm not that studious, but I've never seen three words together with the same root. Is this a usual thing? And this word is so special. Hikri, hamak, ri.
Yeah, very good. Very, very nice.
So
yeah.
Is that a normal thing to see?
You find it occasionally. You find it occasionally, but that is something I didn't notice. That's very nice.
What
pasuk is that? Yeah, pasuk verse 4.
Huh. What are the things about it had to be special? Like, what do you?
The flour had to be fine flour. Okay. So it had to be ground well and sifted well, etc. The wine and oil couldn't have any impurities in them. It was, you know, everything had to be done in the best quality.
I do have a question. When they first went to the land of Israel, they didn't have the Beis HaMikdash yet, so how were they going to...
Yeah, when they got there, they started off in Gilgal, and the Mishkan was parked in Gilgal, and they did it there, and then they opened up Shiloh.
Okay.
And Shiloh was around for over 350 years.
Carbon Pesach didn't require libations?
Carbon Pesach did not require libations. Right. That's right. Now, the change, though, in when they were in the wilderness, they did not need to bring the Nisachim. Mm-hmm. Only after they got to Eretz Yisrael. Then they needed to bring Nisachim. So it seems that something changed upon entering Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban speaks about it, about the change that happens, that the Jews now have to, in order for their carbon to be accepted, they have to do more once they get into Eretz Yisrael. Now, it just is a simple approach. We can say that Hashem did not require the wine, oil, and flour when they were in the wilderness, because it would have been very, very difficult to get the right kind of flour, oil, and wine while in the wilderness. They did have, for the carbon tumid, the daily offering they had, but for every single individual person to get a hold of flour, oil, and wine that would be used to bring a carbon, that was daunting. So it could be that's why Hashem delayed that aspect of the carbon until we got into Eretz Yisrael. That's a possibility. But be that as it may, this mitzvah applied to individual carbonos only after we got to Eretz Yisrael, and this is a mitzvah that Hashem is telling the Jews here that they will get into Eretz Yisrael, even though they have been turned away currently from entering the land. But now we move on to some fascinating psukim that still have to do with the Nisachim, but, as we'll see, introduce another aspect. Pasuk Mem, verse 40. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Kamispar asher ta'asu, according to the number of karbonos that you do, kacha ta'asu la'echad kimisparam. So you should do for each one according to their number. So if you bring 10 karbonos, you have to bring 10 sets of nisachim. You can't get away with one set of nisachim for 10 karbonos. Every karbon has to have its own set of nisachim. Kol ha'ezrach yase kacha eseile. All of the natives, thank you, will do so. These as such. La'akrivi she'riach nichoach la'Hashem, to bring, as they call it, a fire offering, which is, they call it a satisfying aroma, a sweet smell, a sweet smell, so to speak, for Hashem. So you have to bring as many nisachim as you bring karbonos. And this is true of all of the natives. The Gemara says what this means is that non-Jews cannot offer nisachim. The carbon of a non-Jew, the non-Jew does not bring nisachim, meaning that we know that a non-Jew can offer a korban. That is mentioned in Sefer Vayikra. We learned about it, that a non-Jew can offer a korban. However, a non-Jew cannot offer nisachim, only a Jew. However, says the Gemara, every korban needs nisachim, even the korban of a non-Jew. And therefore, you end up with an interesting setup that when a non-Jew offers a korban, the nisachim have to be brought by the Jews. Meaning a non-Jew offers a korban, and the nisachim have to be provided by the Jews. Now, it could be any Jew provides that those nisachim, but the system was that the Beis HaMikdash picked up the tab. That if a non-Jew sent a korban to the Beis HaMikdash provided the wine, oil, and flour for the nisachim of the korban of the non-Jew. So it comes out a fascinating thing. Here in the wilderness, we didn't have to offer nisachim. We could just bring the animal. When we get to Eretz Yisrael, now there's a new thing that has to be brought along with the korban, and that is the nisachim. If I were to ask you, what's the main part, the animal or the nisachim? You would answer correctly that the animal is the main thing, which is true. Yet, the animal can also be brought by a non-Jew, but the nisachim cannot be offered by a non-Jew. But his korban still needs nisachim. And therefore, they have to be offered by Jews on behalf of the korban of a non-Jew. So although the nisachim are not the main part of the korban, but they are an integral part of the korban, and they are exclusively Jewish. They cannot be offered by anybody else. And even though the korban of a non-Jew requires nisachim, he can't offer it. So it's not shocking that there's an element that is off-limits to a non-Jew. After all, the non-Jew can't be a Kohen either to bring the korban in the Beis HaMikdash. All he can do is bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's not shocking. But that already is not shocking from our perspective, because even we're limited also. Only Kohanim can work in the Beis HaMikdash, not all Jews. But when it comes to Nisachim, that is something which Jews do. Non-Jews can't do, but they need it if they want to offer a korban.
So, Rabbi Bransky, is that connected to the fact that a non-Jew can't handle wine that's not
kosher? So we know that there is a rabbinic law that a non-Jew cannot handle wine, that if he does, the wine becomes not kosher. But that's a rabbinic law. The Torah law is, if the non-Jew pours that wine for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry, then that wine becomes prohibited. So, but according to the Torah, if a non-Jew handles wine but does not pour it for Avodah Zarah, the wine is fine. So this rule is not connected to that. Because that's rabbinic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But is that the same word?
It means the pour. Because that's what they would,
means pour?
Yeah. That's what they do. They would pour wine for Avodah Zarah. Just like you pour wine here, they would pour wine.
So is Yitro the only goy who could have given an offering before there was libations needed with it?
I don't know. Maybe any non-Jew could have. I don't know that it had to be.
No, but I mean, we know that he did when he.
Do we know of any other non-Jew? I don't know if we know of any other non-Jew that did.
That tried.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't realize before that sometimes a person would bring more than one animal.
You could. It's an expensive proposition, but you could.
Yeah.
You can bring carbon. On Yontif, we have to bring a lot of carbonas.
At the same time?
Yeah, a whole bunch of carbonas.
A woman had twins, didn't she have to do, like if she had a boy and a girl, they're different.
Yeah, carbonas had to be brought. Yeah. I mean,
So in the Midbar, they did have the Tamid they took was a Nesach, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that did.
And so there were no Goyim there doing that.
No, that's right. Our offering.
So what's that idea about the Goyim bringing carbonas? I never thought of it before.
Yeah, why not?
That was silly. Why not?
Because
it is a Beis HaMikdash. It's our Hashem's house, and it seems.
On Sukkot, we bring carbonas on behalf of the Rishis of the world. It's not their carbonas. But it says in the Pasuk, ish, any man, which the Gemara says includes a non-Jew.
Okay.
So Hashem forgives them like he would forgive us?
He can forgive them. It depends if they do tshuva. A carbon doesn't bring forgiveness by itself. Tshuva has to be done along with
it. Isn't that the whole thing with Kochba and Bar Kochba that he then told the head of, you know, I'll bring an animal for you, and he gave it a mum?
Not Bar Kochba. The destruction of the second Mishnah. Yeah. Yeah. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shakol Ra.
Amen. So, Rabbi Prinsky, I'm sorry I didn't understand when you said that Hashem commanded the Jewish people to enter Eretz Yisrael. There they are in the desert. And if he just tells them that they're going, that's one thing. But to command,
He gave them a command that applies when they get to Eretz Yisrael.
They're going to be on the border, and he's commanding them to go in?
No.
They're not going in.
They're not allowed to go in. But he's telling them, you will go in eventually. When you do, this will apply.
So I'm trying to understand the commandment that, I mean, I'm thinking they're here, and like they have a choice. I'm just trying. Are you just saying that when they do go in, it will be as a mitzvah, not just as entering?
Correct.
It will count as one of the 613
mitzvahs. What will count?
The fact that they're fulfilling that mitzvah of going in.
I didn't say anything about a mitzvah to go in.
I thought it was a mitzvah.
No, you're saying
commanded.
We weren't talking about that. We didn't say anything about a mitzvah to go in. We said there's a mitzvah after they go into Israel to do this with the Nesachim.
Oh, so there wasn't a mitzvah to go in. It wasn't a commandment to go into the land.
Here, we're not talking about that.
Oh. Was there something here? I thought I heard that.
No. What I was trying to say is that when they go in, they will then be required to do this mitzvah.
Okay, so it's not going into the land. It's
right.
Doing this mitzvah.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying. Good.
Are there any mitzvahs that, like, you know, carbon, bringing us close, are there any mitzvahs that we have that Goyim can't do?
Cannot do?
Yeah.
All mitzvahs they can't do.
So why this one can they do?
Okay, that's going to go. I mean, the most mitzvahs, it's innocuous. So they pick up a lulav and a sukkah, they don't get a mitzvah.
And so how do we learn that that they could bring korbanos?
Because the pasuk says so.
Ishish.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I think of like someone who's a gear, like they have to do something on Shabbos not to keep Shabbos until they convert. So it's like
Shabbos is different. Shabbos is different.
There's still something they can't do.
Shabbos is different. There's a prohibition. A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Okay, we need to move on. Okay. Okay. So, Pasuk Yud Dalid, verse 14. V'chiyaguri tchem ger, when a convert will sojourn with you, O Asher b'sochachem l'doroseichem, or he'll be among you for your generations, meaning a non-Jew will join the Jews. V'asa yishereach nechoach la'Hashem, and he will make a burnt offering for Hashem. Kasher ta'asu, as you do, ken ya'aseh, so shall he do. So the ger will also have to bring nisachim. He'll have to bring this wine, oil, and flour with his karban. HaKahol, the congregation, chukah achas lachem, one law for you, vilager hagar, and for the convert. Chukah salam b'doro seichem, it is a statute forever for all your generations. Kachem kager yeh lifnei Hashem, like you, a convert, the same law, it'll be before Hashem. Torah achas umishpat echad yelachem. One law, one statute will be for you. V'lager hagar itchem, and for the ger that lives with you. Now, there's several things here that need explanation. The first point, which is really the main point, is that all the mitzvahs in the Torah apply to the ezrach, to the native, and to the ger, and to the convert. All the mitzvahs apply to both. Why is the Torah emphasizing over here that the law applies to the ger as well as to the person born Jewish? Number one. Number two, the Torah seems to repeat it over and over and over again, mentioning that it's the same law for the Jew and for the convert. Now, the Gemara goes through why it's repeated, and we're not going to get into that level of detail over here. However, the need to emphasize that the ger offers nisachim is based on what we mentioned before. Because since we already find that the non-Jew can offer a karban but cannot offer nisachim, yet his karban requires nisachim, and the Jews have to offer it in his behalf. So here you have a convert. This convert yesterday, before he converted, was able to offer a karban, but was not able to bring the nesachim that are required along with his karban. Now he becomes Jewish. So it's true, he now enters the ranks of the Jews. He's now required to do 613 mitzvos, like every other Jew. But one may have thought that the rule of karbanos remains the same, and perhaps he's still off limits for bringing nisachim. So the Torah has to emphasize that that's not true. That once he becomes a Jew, then the law of nisachim now, for him, becomes like any other Jew, and he not only is required to bring nisachim, but he can offer the nisachim himself. It is not offered by the rest of the Jewish people on his behalf, but rather, it is done, he does it himself. But there is another rule that is derived from here. And this is very important. We've actually mentioned it before, but it is something that is not so well known, but it is a law, and it will come into play, please God, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt speedily and in our days. Mm-hmm. And that is, if you hold the place here and go back to Parshas Mishpatim, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah speaks about the day before Matan Torah, the day before Moshe Rabbeinu went up and got the Torah, before the Aseres Hadibros. So the Torah says, on page 440, Pasuk, let's start from Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayichtov Moshe is called Divrei Hashem. Moshe wrote all the words of Hashem. That means he wrote the Torah down up until Matan Torah. Vayashkem Babokir, he got up early in the morning. Vayiven Mizbeach Tachas Hahar, he built an altar at the bottom of the mountain. Ushtem Esrei Matzeva, Vishnem Asar Shivtei Yisrael, 12 stones. What's that?
Pillars.
Pillars, okay, to represent the 12 tribes. Vayishlaches Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, he sent the young men of the Jewish people. These would be the firstborn, who at this time were acting as the Kohanim, because this is before the golden calf. Vayalu Alos, they offered burnt offerings. Vayizbechu Zvachim Shlamim LaHashem, and they offered burnt offerings to Hashem. Parim, bulls. Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Hadam, Moshe took half the blood. Vayasem ba'aganos, he put them into containers, cups. Vachatzi hadam, the other half of the blood, zarak al hamizbeach, he threw on the altar. Vayikach sefer habris, he took the scroll of the covenant. This would be the Torah up until Matan Torah. Vayikra biyaznei ha'am, he read it in the ears of the nation. Vayomru, and they said, this is the famous line, everything Hashem said, we will do, and we will hear. Vayikach Moshe Sadam, Moshe took the blood, this is the other half, Vayizrok Al Ha'am, and he threw it on the nation. Vayomer, and he said, Hinei Dam Habris, behold the blood of the covenant, Ashakaras Hashem Imachem, that Hashem has cut this covenant with you, Al Kol Advarim Mo'ele, regarding all of these things, meaning that you will accept all of Hashem's rules based on this covenant. He didn't actually throw the blood on top of them, he threw it towards them. But whatever it is, the blood was a method of bringing them into the covenant. Chazal tell us that when the Jews accepted the Torah, the Jews had to go through a process similar to that of converts. We were all becoming Jewish at that time. And before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah, we were a family. We were the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then we became a nation. We joined, we became the nation through the giving of the Torah. We had to go through a process similar to that of a convert. So the men had to have bris milah. The men had to be circumcised, which happened in Egypt before we left. The men and the women all had to go to the mikvah, just like a convert. But Chazal say there was a third step. And that third step was hartza'as damim, which means the offering of blood. There were karbanos brought on behalf of the Jewish people who were becoming Jewish. We were all becoming Jewish. So Chazal say that a convert, we learn here on page 812 in our psukim here in Parshas Shlach, where it says repeatedly that the convert will be like the rest of you. So the Gemara says, just as the rest of you entered the covenant through milah, circumcision, tvilah, immersing in the mikvah, and hartza'as damim, the blood offering, so too a convert shall become a convert through milah, circumcision, tvilah, immersing in the mikvah, and hartza'as damim, the offering of a karbon, or karbonos, actually. And therefore, says the Gemara, a convert needs to offer certain karbonos when they become a convert. Just as we did, so too every convert has to. Now, this is not something that is well known, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today, and we know that people convert today, and we know that their conversion is a valid conversion. So we presume, therefore, they must be going through all the necessary steps. Because if there was something missing, then how could they become a convert? So it must be that all the necessary steps are taken, and we know what they are. We know that for a man, it involves circumcision. For men and for women, it involves the mikvah. And everybody has to accept upon themselves the mitzvahs. There has to be a Beis Din present for them to become a convert. We're all aware of that. And we have full-fledged converts who are fully part of the Jewish people, and nothing else is done. So what people don't realize is that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, converts will have to offer karbanos for becoming converts. That is part of the process. It is not something that prevents them from being Jewish. They are Jewish without it. But for a convert to partake of karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, for a convert to then, for instance, eat a karban Pesach, or to do other things within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, the convert requires karbanos. Which karbanos? The karbanos of conversion. And that is derived from here, just as we had karbanos when we accepted the Torah, so too the convert has karbanos as well. Gemara discusses which karbanos have to be brought. There's different choices, but there's different karbanos that have to be brought by a convert. So those converts who converted, lived their lives as Jews and died before the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, so they obviously never had the opportunity to offer their karbanos, just as all of us, anybody who didn't live to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash was not able to bring whatever karbanos that they needed to bring or could have brought. But when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and we're all standing in line to bring whatever karbanos we either need to bring for whatever, God forbid, sins that we might have done, or karbanos that we want to bring, like women who have given birth, they would have to bring karbanos, so too the convert has to bring, in addition to whatever karbanos other Jews would have to bring, the convert has to bring also the karbanos of conversion. That also is on the list of karbanos that will need to be offered when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. The Beis HaMikdash, should it be rebuilt tomorrow, there will be a long line, because all of us are going to have various types of karbanos that we either need to bring or want to bring. So the convert will add to that list the karbanos of conversion. So that's derived from these psukim over here, that there are karbanos that is part of the process of conversion, but it is not something that prevents the convert from being Jewish. What it would prevent the convert from doing, let's say a convert would convert when there is a Beis HaMikdash and wouldn't offer those karbanos, then he would not be able to partake of karbanos until he did. He would have to offer karbanos. He would be considered the same as, in the language of the Mishnah, mechusser kippurim. He would be considered the same as someone who needs to bring a karban and has not done so, and therefore cannot partake of other types of karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash.
Children don't have to do that.
No. Just those who convert themselves that have to bring it. Right. That's right. Okay, so this is the first mitzvah that the Jews are being told about post the sin of the Meraglim. Post the sin of the spies, this is the first mitzvah that they're being told about, and it is a mitzvah that is performed only in Israel. As we said before, the reason Hashem is emphasizing this is to let them know, have no fear, Jews will enter Israel. It will happen eventually. When that happens, here is a mitzvah that is exclusive to being in Israel. And that leads us to the next mitzvah, which will also be for when we are in Israel. We are not going to have time this evening to develop this mitzvah completely, but we will at least begin the mitzvah. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, on page 812. By the Rabbi Hashem Moshe Lamar, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Darbel b'nei Yisrael v'amar tov lehem, speak to the Jews and say to them, Bevoachem al ha'aretz, when you come to the land asher ani mevi eschem shama, that I'm bringing you there, V'haya ba'achalchem milechem ha'aretz, it shall be when you eat from the bread of the land, Tarimu sruma lahashem. You will offer a truma to Hashem. Now, we've had the word truma before, and there the word truma was something which was separated from grain, meaning that when a person harvested their grain in Israel, they have to give a certain amount to the Kohen. This is also something to give to the Kohen, but it is not grain. Rather, it is, as the next pasuk says, Reishis ariso seichem, the beginning of your dough. Chala tarimu sruma, you will remove chala as a truma. Kisrumas goren, just as you remove truma from the pile of grain. Kain tarimu osa, so shall you remove the chala from the dough. May reishis ariso seichem, from the first of your dough. Titnu laHashem truma, you shall give to Hashem a truma, a separated amount. L'daroseichem, for all of your generations. Here we have the complete mitzvah of chala, of hafrash haschala, separating chala from the dough. And as we know, this is a mitzvah that is, although it is any Jew who makes the right amount of dough would have to separate challah, but it is a mitzvah that is special for women. It is one of the three mitzvahs that is particular to women. And here, this is the place where the Torah commands it, right here. And we will need to go through these psukim more carefully to discuss the mitzvah of challah, and we will have to go through the halachos of hafrash haschalah and touch on not every single detail of hafrash haschalah, but many of the details of hafrash haschalah. There are some things that that are misunderstood and some mistakes that are often made that we will try to cover as well about challah. But for now, let us just notice that this is a mitzvah that is given to the Jewish people post the sin of the spies. That's when this mitzvah is given to the Jewish people. Yes?
So, Rabbi Fransky, here it is again. Three words in a row, but with the same shortage.
Yeah.
So it's not as uncommon as...
Well, it happened twice over here, but that's true.
Yeah,
that is true. That is true.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.